Unit 5. Death's Lessons for Life. Warming up. Now you will hear an interview about preserving important life stories. Listen carefully and complete the answers to the following questions according to what you hear.
We are going to die. This is a sad fact of life, one that we all must accept. Usually death involves losing the stories we've collected in our memories. David Isay is here to tell us how we can save all of this information. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I've started an oral history project called StoryCorps to preserve stories that would be lost. I visit homes, and I record people as they talk about the important things they've experienced in their lives.
What are some of the best stories you've come across through this project?
I've heard all sorts of adventure stories, mountain climbing, and this sort of thing. But what really gets me, what really touches me, are stories with a special message of love and hope. Listening. Understanding short conversations. Now you will hear 10 short conversations. A question will follow each conversation. Listen carefully and choose the best answer from the 4 possible choices.
1.
I'll never forgive myself for not being there at Mom's side when she died.
Don't beat yourself up about this. You were there with her during so much of her life, so you have nothing to be ashamed of. Question. Why shouldn't the woman feel bad about not being there when her mother died?
Two.
Before his death, Grandpa said we should always be generous with each other.
That's Grandpa, always telling others what to do. But I'm not so sure he followed his own advice. I, for one, never saw him share with anyone. Question. According to the man, what kind of person was Grandpa?
3.
Now that Dad has passed away, we need to prepare some words to say about his life.
We should tell others what he told us. To make the world a better place by being loving people. I'm sure the rest of the family would appreciate this. Question. What does the man think that they should talk about?
4.
My father keeps asking me to take him to a suicide doctor. He says he's ready to die.
Since his illness is beyond cure, maybe you should respect his wishes. I know you don't agree, but it's his life and his choice. Question. What does the man think?
5.
Though she didn't say so, I think Mom would want me to have some of her money now that she has passed away.
You can have all of it. I don't care about the money. I only care about honoring her memory. Question. What does the man care about?
6.
I don't know why Grandma didn't want us to be in the hospital with her when she passed away.
Well, you know, she was a nurse. So she saw a lot of death. It's an ugly thing, and she didn't want us to see it.
Question. Why did Grandma want the speakers to stay away from her when she passed away?
7.
Do you ever wonder what will happen after death? I mean, is there a heaven or...
Ah, don't be silly. When you're dead, and that's all there is to it. Nothing can convince me otherwise. Question. What are the speakers talking about?
8.
I hear you perform assisted suicides for old people. Is that right? Maybe you can end my pain.
I'm afraid you have me confused with a different doctor. And if you're thinking of killing yourself, you should talk to a family member, your husband, perhaps. Question: what can be inferred from the conversation?
Nine.
I feel terrible that I couldn't make it to the hospital when Mom was dying.
You should. She kept asking where you were. Our mother was so good to you, you should have been there. Question: what is the relationship between the two speakers?
Ten.
When winter hits, old people die at a surprising rate here. Maybe 60 or 70 people will go in the first month.
Actually, the first month of last winter took 85 in our town. And with Dad being 86 now, I'm praying that he can survive the winter.
Question: how old is their father?
5. Understanding a long conversation. Now you will hear a long conversation, followed by 5 questions. Listen carefully and choose the best answer from the 4 possible choices.
How's your mother?
She didn't pull through.
What?
Yeah, she passed away. It happened last night at just after 11 o'clock. But I've been expecting it for a long time.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thanks. I'll be okay. Mom left me with some wisdom just before she passed away.
What did she say?
Minutes before she went, she said that there were 20 good things in life, and if a person did at least 15 of these things, that person would be happy.
Would you mind telling me what these things are?
Sure. One was that a person should have children. Having children can teach you about sharing, love, and so much more. Mom said it was the best thing she had ever done.
And the others?
She said that a person should give money to charity, write a book, travel around the world, and make peace with one's enemies.
That's 5 things altogether. What about the others?
She closed her eyes then, and that was it.
That's so sad.
Not really. I think I could guess the rest. Essentially, Mom was telling me to have an exciting and loving life, without hatred or anger. Questions 1 to 5 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 1. What are the speakers talking about?
2. According to the woman's mother, how many things should a person do at least in order to be happy?
3. What can one learn from having children? 4. What can we infer from the conversation? 5. Why did the daughter feel all right even though her mother failed to list all of the good things?
5. Understanding a passage. Now you will hear a passage, followed by 5 questions. Listen carefully and choose the best answer from the 4 possible choices.
Are you afraid to die? We asked over 57,000 adults this question and others in a poll. Before we conducted the poll, we had an idea of what sort of answers we would receive. We expected around 90% of the people to admit a great fear of death, and most of them, up to 70%, to say they were afraid of what comes after death. But it wasn't the case, not at all. A surprising 80% of people responding to the poll said they didn't fear death at all. 12% said they feared death only a little, and only 8% reported great fear associated with death. However, people are not without worries. The people we polled answered the other questions, saying, though they didn't fear death, they feared the problems leading up to death. The biggest of these problems had to do with close family members. Adults with children overwhelmingly said they worried about children who would have to watch them die. The process of watching someone die is incredibly difficult, and parents didn't want their children to see them go through it. Interestingly enough, however, most of the people who said this also said they wanted to care for their own parents as their parents became elderly.
Questions 1 to 5 are based on the passage you have just heard. 1. What is the speaker talking about? 2. What did researchers expect? 3. What percentage of people feared death only a little? 4. What is the biggest concern about death? 5. According to the passage, which of the following statements is true? 6. Understanding a radio program. Task 1. Now you will hear a recording. Listen carefully and fill in the blanks according to what you hear. I'll give you some advice about life. Eat more roughage, do more than others expect you to do, and do it at pains. Remember what life tells you. Don't take to heart everything you hear. Don't spend all that you have. Don't sleep as long as you want. Whenever you say I love you, please say it honestly. Whenever you say I'm sorry, please look into the other person's eyes. Fall in love at first sight. Love deeply and ardently, even if there is pain. But this is the way to make your life complete. Find a way to settle, not to dispute. Never judge people by their appearance. Speak slowly, but think quickly. When someone asks you a question, you don't want to answer, smile, and say, "Why do you want to know?" Remember that the man who can shoulder the most risk will gain the deepest love and the supreme accomplishment. Call your mother on the phone. If you can't, you may think of her in your heart. When someone sneezes, say, "God bless you." If you fail, don't forget to learn your lesson. Speaking.
Model dialogues.
Belief.
1.
Hi, you are back. I hope you had a nice trip to the island.
We sure did. The travel agency made great arrangements for us. They were very thoughtful. We really have full confidence in them.
I agree. By the way, I've been to the island too. It's a great place to relax and sightsee.
I feel the same way.
2.
Our team has played well in the first half.
No doubt we will win.
I'm sure the goalkeeper won't let us down.
Absolutely. Everyone has confidence in him.
3. Bob said he could finish the project in 10 days.
I know he'll get it done.
He is one of the most capable employees in this company.
He sure is. Everybody is convinced of his abilities. Doubt.
1. My car wheels are gone.
I can't believe it. Are you kidding? What happened?
I left the car out of the garage last night. I meant to put it away later, but then totally forgot about it.
You did? That's too bad.
2.
The report is due next Monday, but I haven't started it yet.
You can't be serious. You only have 2 days left.
That's true. That's why I'm not sure if I can finish it on time.
Don't worry. I'll help you.
3. I'm surprised Jim is absent again from the meeting.
He told me he was ill.
I doubt that.
I also suspect he was lying. Speaking practice. A worthwhile life. Now listen to a conversation and give a speech in response to the questions asked. Your speech should be no shorter than 10 sentences. Write out your speech before delivering it in front of your classmates.
Thank you for coming, Uncle Steve.
I loved your mom very much. Hearing that she had passed away hurt me deeply, maybe more than anything ever has. She was a very special woman to many people, and she'll be missed.
Ma had a simple nature. She didn't do anything big to change the world, never cured some terrible disease, never invented a product to improve people's lives, never led a campaign to make life more fair for all of the disadvantaged people in the world. But I think she led a worthwhile life. She cared for her family and friends. She worked hard at her job. Yes, many people will miss her.
Listening and speaking.
Task 1. Fill in the following table according to what you hear. Death can be sudden or drawn out, and I suppose there are advantages to each. A sudden death is painless, so a person who dies quickly doesn't suffer as much. In addition, a quick death is cheap. Family members don't have to pay for large hospital bills for this kind of conclusion. These are good reasons to wish for a quick death. However, I believe there are also good reasons to want a slower death. In my opinion, the benefits of a slow death are greater than the benefits of a faster one. Most important to me, and first among my list of reasons, is that a slow death gives a person time to think about his or her life. What is life's meaning? What was the best part? We spend all our lives thinking about these questions. It's nice to have some time at the end to consider them and hopefully come to definitive answers. Secondly, a slow death allows one to say goodbye to his or her family and friends. This may be important to those left behind. It gives them a sense of closure and the opportunity to say things that may have been difficult at other times. And thirdly, a slow death gives one time to arrange his or her financial affairs. A person can make out a will. This, of course, makes things easier for the family. Homework. Language Sense Enhancement. Now listen to a speech and try to imitate the speaker.
My third story is about death. When I was 17, I read a quote that went something like, "If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right." It made an impression on me, and since then, for the past 33 years, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important.
Supplementary Listening. Task 1. Now you will hear a long conversation
followed by 5 questions. Listen carefully and choose the best answer from the 4 possible choices.
I would like to live forever.
That's impossible.
Yeah, I know, but still, it'd be nice. Don't you think so?
Hardly.
What do you mean?
People are living longer and longer nowadays. Only a few generations ago, it was uncommon for people to live into their 70s or 80s. The government offered to make payments to people older than 65 because not so many people live to be older than that.
Yeah?
Yeah. But now people are regularly living to be 90, 95. My great-grandmother turned 100 last week.
So why is this a problem?
You should see my great-grandmother. She is miserable. She says she wants to die.
Why?
Life is too painful when all your organs are weak, she says.
Yeah, I can understand that. But think of all the good things a person would miss if he or she were dead.
But the dead don't worry about this. When you're dead, there are no cares at all.
Questions 1 to 5 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 1. What can be inferred from the conversation?
2. According to the conversation, what is common now? 3. How old is the man's great-grandmother? 4. Why does the great-grandmother want to die? 5. What does the man think?
2. Now you will hear a passage followed by 5 questions. Listen carefully and choose the best answer from the 4 possible choices.
There's a care center for old people near my university. It's a place where old people go to live out the last years or months of their lives. Doctors and nurses care for them and make them as comfortable as possible. I know this place well because I go there as a volunteer almost every day. Some people might find this place depressing, and I have to admit, sometimes it is. Still, I learn a lot from the experience, and I find it mostly uplifting. Here, among the elderly, I make friends that are unlike any of my friends at school. These people have experienced so much. One man told me about his adventures in Africa. A woman told me about her children. She has 19. Care centers for the elderly are often visited by people like me. Still, more people are needed to offer warmth and attention. Some care centers advertise for more volunteers to come. They are especially interested in people who can play the piano. But everyone is welcome to visit, as long as they are friendly and ready to listen.
Questions 1 to 5 are based on the passage you have just heard. 1. What is the speaker talking about? 2. What does the speaker do? 3. What did the speaker learn from the people at the care center? 4. What did one woman tell the speaker about? 5. Who are greatly needed in some care centers? Task 3. Now you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 1 to 7 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 8 to 10, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now listen to the passage.
Dad was the kindest man I ever met. Yet, I was never able to know him as well as I wanted to. He never elaborated upon the things close to his heart. I know he loved all his children, but because outward signs of affection were never shown in our family, I was never able to express my love for him. I was with Dad on the night he passed away. I longed to be able to kneel by his bedside and say, "I love you, Dad." I tried to, but I was embarrassed. Even at that time, I felt he would consider it wrong for me to try to express my feelings in words. After Dad had passed away, all of the children gathered around Mom. I'd visit her twice a day and listen to her talk about Dad. At first, listening to the stories was a real chore, but over time, I started to enjoy them more and more. And then once, when I had listened to her all afternoon, Mom said, "Now that I've talked to you, I feel 10 years younger." And then she was done. No more stories. When I asked her to tell me another, she said that people shouldn't live their lives always thinking about the past. People should move on.
Now the passage will be read again.
Dad was the kindest man I ever met. Yet, I was never able to know him as well as I wanted to. He never elaborated upon the things close to his heart. I know he loved all his children, but because outward signs of affection were never shown in our family, I was never able to express my love for him. I was with Dad on the night he passed away. I longed to be able to kneel by his bedside and say, "I love you, Dad." I tried to, but I was embarrassed. Even at that time, I felt he would consider it wrong for me to try to express my feelings in words. After Dad had passed away, all of the children gathered around Mom. I'd visit her twice a day and listen to her talk about Dad. At first, listening to the stories was a real chore, but over time, I started to enjoy them more and more. And then once, when I had listened to her all afternoon, Mom said, "Now that I've talked to you, I feel 10 years younger." And then she was done. No more stories. When I asked her to tell me another, she said that people shouldn't live their lives always thinking about the past. People should move on.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
Dad was the kindest man I ever met. Yet, I was never able to know him as well as I wanted to. He never elaborated upon the things close to his heart. I know he loved all his children, but because outward signs of affection were never shown in our family, I was never able to express my love for him. I was with Dad on the night he passed away. I longed to be able to kneel by his bedside and say, "I love you, Dad." I tried to, but I was embarrassed. Even at that time, I felt he would consider it wrong for me to try to express my feelings in words. After Dad had passed away, all of the children gathered around Mom. I'd visit her twice a day and listen to her talk about Dad. At first, listening to the stories was a real chore, but over time, I started to enjoy them more and more. And then once, when I had listened to her all afternoon, Mom said, "Now that I've talked to you, I feel 10 years younger." And then she was done. No more stories. When I asked her to tell me another, she said that people shouldn't live their lives always thinking about the past. People should move on.